The Kimberleys is certainly a real special place. So first I want to acknowledge Noongar people, because Noongar people were the first to receive the brunt of the early colonisation days. And in the Kimberleys, we were very lucky, because in some parts of the Kimberleys, Aboriginal people walked out of certain areas only 40 years ago. You know, it's almost in my lifetime, there were still Aboriginal people living in the Kimberleys who've never met non-Aboriginal people for the first time. So in that context of the success of the Land Council and our ability to prove native title and people's connection to country, it's not surprising that we've been so successful. So we've kind of been very lucky, but we've also been on a roller coaster ride to participate in the modern economy. So first I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners of this land, which we stand, the Noongar people. As the executive director of the Kimberley Land Council, it's my job to represent Kimberley Aboriginal people's rights and interests in the Kimberley region. KLC has negotiated native title over nearly half the Kimberley in the last 7 years on behalf of 9 traditional owner groups. Traditional owners have had a long and proud history of looking after country for tens and thousands of years. We have strong environmental knowledge, strong cultural knowledge, strong management practices. That's why the Kimberley has a unique environment, and that is why it is so precious to everyone. We're a really proud people. Unfortunately, as recently acknowledged by the Federal Minister for Indigenous Affairs, Jenny Macklin, Indigenous people in Australia, and in particular the Kimberley, are largely missing out on the resources boom and the benefits coming from that. This is unacceptable. Aboriginal people make up the majority of the permanent population in the Kimberley, with about 50% of the Kimberley Aboriginal population are Aboriginal. 50% of the population are Aboriginal. We make up about 70% of the long-term residents. So we don't go anywhere else. A lot of people come up to the region and leave. We stay there. It's our home. As I will talk about more today, our fundamental position is that traditional owners need to be central to resource negotiations and have control over how benefits from development are spent. This is about how we empower ourselves to take control. This is the best way, I believe, for Aboriginal communities to gain long-term benefits from developments while still controlling impacts to environmental and cultural values. The prospect of gas development off the Kimberley coastline is a huge issue for everyone who lives in the Kimberley. The coastline is precious. It provides our people with food, with cultural strength. It is our homeland, our identity. It is also recognised as having unique environmental values of global significance. Kimberley traditional owners have many concerns about the potential development of gas. Better than anyone, traditional owners know the beauty and values of the Kimberley environment and our responsibilities to protect it and our cultural heritage. At the same time, our responsibilities also include bringing our people out of poverty and into a modern economy. Aboriginal children born today in Western Australia face life expectancies up to 20 years less. I've reached half my life expectancy. Less than 20% of Aboriginal people in Western Australia own their own homes. And even during a resource boom and skills shortage, and the statistics are a bit hard, I mean, we're not happy with the reporting of statistics, but 16% of Aboriginal people in the East Kimberley participate in the mainstream labour market. Indigenous unemployment rates is 2 to 3 times higher than anywhere else. in Western Australia. Generally speaking, our health levels are very poor, our education levels are not up to standard, and our ability to engage in the economy is limited. I know. I was part of that. I left school barely able to read and write. I halfway finished year 11 in a private school, could barely read or write. I understand what that struggle is and the embarrassment of carrying that is all about. This isn't about economic development at all costs. The right development package can deliver a sustainable future for Indigenous people. And in the Kimberley, including training, jobs, environmental sustainability and protection of cultural sites. We don't want a repeat of welfare models. This is our vision for economic development in the Kimberley. It is one we hope other stakeholders will share and support us with. There will be no hub unless we have industry, the state government, the Commonwealth at the table. And I want to emphasise that. This is more than just picking a figure. The first criteria for this is that informed consent of traditional owners must be obtained before development occurs. As part of achieving our vision for sustainable economic development in the Kimberley, the KLC is facilitating a consultation process with traditional owners. We've established a traditional owner task force, has been formed from 13 traditional owner groups from the Northern Territory border to south of Broome to Bidjedanga community, Gurradjuri mob. The traditional owners have elected 4 people from each of the claim groups to represent their local views, their concerns, and bring back information on the potential gas development. More than 30 meetings held across the Kimberley this year from Kalumburu to Bidjedanga have been held. The KLC team has travelled more than 7,000 kilometres to facilitate this in a very short time where logistics is very difficult. Chartering planes, having senior people with us, it's been a very tough process in such a short time, but we're getting there. We've got the task force set up and we've been meeting and starting to engage with the government and industry. The other key criteria that is critical for development to go ahead is that it must be on the basis of economic partnership with traditional owners to ensure the development brings long-term benefits for the region and for traditional owners. Traditional owners will not be in a position to make an informed decision until we know whether and how this criteria will be met. A lot of people are asking me, well, what is the benefits package? We're not able to do that unless we know what industry and the government are prepared to come to the table with. Unless we have the right to make decisions about development of our own land, Aboriginal people will continue to be shut out of the resources boom that have brought so many benefits to the rest of the community. We will be forced to continue in dependence and be dependent on government and welfare. And I don't think anyone wants that to continue. And we certainly don't. We're looking at a way to break what we see as these shackles. We need information on the size, the composition of the development, the income it will generate, the opportunities that will flow up for employment, business opportunities, community development. We don't need broad statements of intentions and principles. We need factual, practical details if we are to make an informed decision. We also need to know what support governments will provide to ensure people are able to benefit from these opportunities. What training and job readiness programs will they support? What long-term education initiatives will be developed to ensure our children can get employment? At the moment, all the good employment clauses we have in existing agreements, people can't get it because they can't read and write. So we're wondering, what's the point having employment clauses if we're not going to be able to get anyone a job anyway. What will they do to make the Kimberley wider social impacts, to manage the wider Kimberley social impacts? There are ripples in the support industries that will happen around these developments. How is that going to be managed? This can't be seen as, this is a 1,000 hectare squared. It's got to be, we've got to take account of the wider ripples that will happen here. While some companies are now working with traditional owners to create economic partnerships, they are by no means the majority. Many resource companies continue to come to the negotiation table with traditional owners only as the last resort, and even then offer completely inadequate development packages. The key role for state and federal government should be supporting traditional owners and their representative bodies to ensure we have the resources to get the best long-term outcomes for our communities. The process for engagement between the state, Commonwealth and companies with us has to be open and transparent. Top-down approaches will not work and do not address the fundamental need for Aboriginal people to take control of our own futures. A range of issues coming out from our consultation process. We're receiving instructions on it is not just about money or coming up with a figure. We see this as an opportunity to address a whole range of issues. And we want the people at the table who can make the commitment. How benefits are managed should be decided by traditional owners and their communities. We need to be empowered to address our own social and economic disadvantage. This can't happen without information from companies and government and engagement with companies and governments. Thank you.